This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. I am so glad you tuned in to Shine On. We're going to do an exercise today that just might blow your mind. It blew my mind, and I've done a lot of exercises. The exercise comes from Dr. Carla Manley. Her new book is called The Joy of Imperfect Love. Are you a perfectionist? Is there any area of your life where you're just too hard on yourself? We probably all do that, right? I work with a lot of women, and I've always been perplexed by the perfectionists. But Dr. Carla Manley captures exactly what we're doing to ourselves and to other people when we demand perfectionism. She's going to explain that coming right up. We are brought to you by Nissan of Yorktown Heights. Get 0% APR available on select new Nissans this month only. 500 vehicles to choose from. Visit NissanofYorktownHeights.com. We'll be right back.
This month, visit Nissan of Yorktown Heights. 0% APR available on select new Nissans. This month only, 500 vehicles to choose from. Find them online at NissanofYorktownHeights.com. 0% APR available on select new Nissans this month only. 500 vehicles to choose from at Nissan of Yorktown Heights. Find them online at NissanofYorktownHeights.com. Nissan of Yorktown Heights. You'll love this place.
Hi, it's Casey. You're listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. My guest is Dr. Carla Manley. Just the sound of her voice heals me and makes me feel so much better. We're talking about getting to a place where we can find joy in imperfect love, being imperfect humans, and being okay with that. I've watched so many women struggle with perfectionism. Perfectionism in their career, perfectionism in their child rearing, perfectionism in their business building, in their house cleaning, in their wardrobe. And they're all so well-intentioned. They're all wonderful women who want what's best, and perfectionism just drains their energy away. Just drains their energy away and increases their anxiety. Dr. Carla Manley was able to sum up what perfectionism does to us in four words. She says, perfectionism suffocates the soul. Why does she say this?
I came to write about it because I found that so many people in today's world focus on perfectionism in their relationships, perfectionism in their own selves, the way they look, perfectionism in child rearing, perfectionism at work. And what we do when we focus on perfectionism, we focus on flaws and we focus on comparison. And when we focus on flaws and on comparing ourselves to carefully curated images or some ideal of perfection, we are missing life itself. We are missing love itself. And that's where the suffocation of the soul comes in, because the soul needs to breathe. It needs, wants to be infused with all of life, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the wabi-sabi nature of it. And so that's what drew me to write the book, to help people along their way to seeing that love is never perfect. It isn't. And that's not the goal. The goal isn't to make it perfect. The goal is to love as well as we can every single day.
We are talking to Dr. Carla Marie Manley. And first, before we go any further, explain wabi-sabi.
Wabi-sabi is that characteristic that we find in certain cultures, particularly Asian cultures, where there's this beauty found in the imperfection of something. It is within that imperfection, that state of being, a tiny bit, we wouldn't even call it flawed, we would call it less than perfect, that we're drawn to that. And I find that, me personally, in nature, And none of us go out, at least I surely don't, and say, oh, that tree is perfectly symmetrical, or that rock is perfectly. No, it's just in its asymmetry, in its glory of its own individuality. That is where we find the beauty.
I've read, though, that our minds, our brains, perceive symmetry in other people's faces as beauty. So are we a little bit hardwired to look for perfection?
We're a little bit hardwired to look for symmetry, which is different from looking for perfection. And the reason, and I know the studies you're talking about, when people are shown a human face, they do tend to find the faces that are more symmetrical, more ideal, more attractive. And that actually may have its roots more in genetics, where if something is less flawed in another human being, it may likely, the brain may say, be more likely to produce children that are healthier, stronger, fitter. And so that's more from the progeneration, the survival instinct to be able to perpetuate our species. Whereas in the other aspects of our life, and also certain elements of safety, if we see a house that is not symmetrical, it may be more likely to fall down. But when it comes to our relationships, what the brain searches for is, and the psyche needs, is balance, which is different from perfection. We want relationships where there is balance, where there is reciprocity, where there is kindness, where there is attunement. And so when we're looking at, I come from an attachment-based paradigm in The Joy of Imperfect Love, the book we're talking about. And the reason it's so fascinating is it began in about the 50s with a researcher named John Bowlby. And then he had some people who he worked with, including Winnicott. And what Winnicott found is that people need a good enough parent, what he called the good enough mother. He never said a perfect mother. He said good enough, where they're attuning to the child, whoever the caregiver is attuning to the child 80, 90% of the time, well enough so that that child feels safe and loved and secure, and then has secure attachment, and then goes out, and the longitudinal studies show this, this child grows up, becomes an adult, then has securely attached adult relationships, raises children in a secure way, and that cycle is completed intergenerationally. Now, the other, you know, half of the population, so to speak, ends up with one of three forms of insecure attachment. And those are perpetuated and handed down unless you earn secure attachment. And that's what I help readers do in my book with the exercises and the reading, to see that they can earn secure attachment. They can bring this sense of emotional connection and attunement into their adult relationships, into their child rearing, into their friendships, even into their work environments. It's really well researched and just a beautiful paradigm.
We're talking to Dr. Carla Marie Manley. Perfectionism Suffocates the Soul, The Joy of Imperfect Love is the new book. You said that parents need to attune with their child. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah. Such a good question. Have you ever talked to someone and they're not paying attention to you? They're distracted. They're multitasking. They're not really hearing what you're saying. They're present, but they're not present. That's non-attunement. What we want with our children and with everyone in our lives, especially those who we're having intimate relationships with, is to be able to listen, to see that someone needs something. A hug, a talk, a cuddle on the couch, a walk with us, time together, quiet time. They may need alone time. They may be sad. And instead of saying, don't be sad, you know, toughen up, or don't get angry. No, we want to be able to say, oh, I see that you're angry. I see that you're sad. Do you want to talk about that? And when we learn to do things like that throughout our days, it's what I do as a livelihood, right? I must attune to my clients. I must attune to other people. it's my oxygen now in life, where I want to be breathing that energy into other people so that they feel seen and heard. And when people feel seen and heard, they generally feel safe, secure, and loved.
I want you to talk to the parents right now who are feeling, oh my gosh, when I was a young mom, I didn't have time to attune. You know, I was working or tending to other children or the house, or I didn't know better. Talk to those parents now. What can those parents do now later in life?
And I would say, oh, dear parents, welcome to the club. I was there, too. I was there, too. We don't get it right often the first time round. And especially if we were young parents or didn't come from a securely attached childhood, which I didn't. And so what we can do is we can go to our children now. We can make space for them. We can even say, hey, I'm learning about this attachment theory and I want to be there for you. I'm learning how to listen better. I'm learning how to attune and really show that you're working on it. And that's the most we can ask of ourselves, Casey. We've all made mistakes in the past. And it's no sense in blaming or shaming ourselves or our parents. Instead, the goal is to lean into attuning. Put down the phone, put down the paperwork, put down the television, and spend time, even if it's virtual time, with somebody in your life. And I'll tell you, my kids know when I'm listening and when I'm not. When I'm doing paperwork or something and I'm having a phone conversation, they're like, Mom, you're not listening. And I'm like, oops, sorry. And I put it down. And that's what we want to do, not blame or shame. Just realize that there's no better time now than to love as well as we can.
There's something you did right if your kids even know to say, Mom, you're not listening. If they feel that they deserve your attention and they know that your attention is what they need and want, to even to be able to say, Mom, you're not listening. I think you're on the right road, right?
I am. I've got good kiddos, I can tell you that.
That's terrific. Now, talk to the people who didn't have healthy attachment patterns, whose parents weren't tuned in. Talk to those children, maybe adult children now. What can they do in their life? Should they work first on themselves or try to have that relationship with their parents now?
They're not mutually exclusive. We can work. As I said, I grew up with a very insecure attachment, and throughout my journey of becoming a psychologist, well before I got there, I had to work on me. And that's how the joy of imperfect love is set out. Any self-help book, this is my paradigm, that doesn't come with exercises, allows you to read and learn about concepts, but not put them into practice from the inside out. And so there's an entire section filled with, I think, 30-some exercises that help you start with yourself. So you become self-aware. You learn to reflect on yourself. And then as you're working in your relationships, you will find that you're automatically, because we cannot unknow something we know and we practice. And so then you go, oh, maybe I'm not being attentive here, or maybe I'm using words inside my head. I have this negative script going, and that negative script is pushing me away from other people and away from myself. So as we work on ourselves, then we can also take it and work with our kids, be more attuned, work with our parents, show how we can be more attuned. We become role models without even realizing it. Then we take it into our friendships. And as we do that, it's a win-win, because we're hardwiring the patterns in our brain. We're letting go of the patterns that didn't work, that don't serve us. We're hardwiring in these healthy patterns. We're drawing people toward us, sometimes new people, who are more aligned with connection and healthy love. We're sometimes letting go or putting boundaries around ourselves so that toxic relationships will fall by the wayside or heal. And then our intimate relationships generally become of better quality because we're more vulnerable. accountable, we're more intentional, we're kinder, we're less likely to yell at someone or close down on someone. We're aware that all of our emotions are healthy, not just joy. We become aware that sadness and anger and all of the emotions and feelings have a place. And so we learn how to process them and regulate them in ways that allow us not to be afraid of conflict, but to be able to stand in our truth when we want to talk about something that's important. And so it's just this lovely cycle of evolution, self-evolution and relationship evolution that I know works. It's worked in my life. It's worked with thousands and thousands of clients, groups. It truly does have transformational qualities.
The joy of imperfect love. Dr. Manley, can you give us an exercise to work on, one of the exercises we'd find in your book?
Absolutely. One of the first exercises you can do, it's one of my favorites, where you look at what your definition of love is. Just write it out. This is my definition of love. And it sounds very simple, but it actually becomes complicated because you may find that love has become something a bit like mucky spaghetti in your life where you don't feel loved. And so you may write down a definition that says, well, I learned in childhood that love means to be a good person and be quiet and do the right thing, and then I'm loved. And maybe that's your definition. It's many people's definition. And then now where you are, you can look and say, but now my definition of love is kindness, respect, reciprocity, balance, attunement. And as you create this new definition of love, where love is action, love is people and you showing that people matter, and this is where the transformation begins in steps that are that simple. And we have a huge happiness decline in the U.S. when we see that we've dropped out of the top 20 of the happiest places on earth. And I believe that that has a lot to do with the fact that we haven't learned how to love well. We instead turn to smartphones and technology and things like that to find fulfillment, and it's not there. Fulfillment is in genuine human relationships, imperfect relationships, but in places where we don't feel suffocated. Human relationships is what we are hardwired to need, to love, to cherish.
Well, you just blew my mind because I do a lot of work and I do a lot of exercises and I do a lot of practices. I never even considered writing down my definition of what love is. But that is a game changer.
It is.
Teaches you a lot about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of the first exercises in the book, and that's where I start from small and go large so that it's a scaffolding approach. And then you can get your, as you said, get your mind blown away bit by bit. And every time you get your mind blown away, you're rewiring it. Your brain wants you to feel safe and loved and secure in this world. It's where the anxiety and the stress come from us not feeling safe and secure. And that is the foundation that we all need. And we need it most in our homes. And so many people have home environments that don't feel safe or feel toxic. And it's time for us to learn how to gently create these environments that we deserve and that we need so that we can come home and recharge and then show up the next day feeling more loved, more wonderful, and yes, imperfect. But that's good because it's in our imperfections that our beauty shows, our individuality shows, and the gifts that we bring to ourselves and others, they're free to expand when we let go of perfection.
Beautiful. What's your dog's name?
That's Freedom. Aptly named.
Freedom sounds big. Is that a big dog?
Freedom is on the back of Joy of Imperfect Love. He's also on my website. He is a giant schnauzer, and he is He is such a guiding light because he is so filled with love and joy and freedom. He's just gorgeous.
Beautiful. Tell us about that website, please.
It's Dr. Carla Manley, MANLY.com. You can find my books there. You can find free exercises in the toolkit section from all of my books. You can find loads of mental health resources and my podcast, Imperfect Love, and just so much more to help you along your way, because the goal with Imperfect Love is to allow ourselves, as I say in the book, to evolve for the better, to polish the stone of who we are, one small step at a time.
I just love her. Dr. Carla Manley, The Joy of Imperfect Love, One Small Step at a Time. So, what do you think of that exercise? To write your definition of love. It never dawned on me to write a definition of love. My own definition of love. I mean, since we're toddlers, it seems the universe is telling us what love is through TV or commercials or whatever. It never dawned on me that I get to write my definition of what love is. And the idea of it is completely baffling to me. The thing that hit me when I said, if I had to write something right now, what would I write? I think I would write that love is wanting to listen compassionately, right? A wanting to know someone else, a wanting to be open to just hold space for another human, not judge, not fix, not alter in any way, just to want to hear someone and not be afraid of what they have to say, to be open. Maybe that's it. To love is to be open. I don't know. I do know this. I'm going to spend a lot of time playing around with this. How about you? Writing our definition of love. We get to decide. We get to choose. I'm loving this, Dr. Carla Manley. And I think I'm going to work this exercise into our June 29th get-together. We're going to get together at Graymore and Garrison for a day of light. My friend Rosemary Boyle is going to bring her crystal harp, so we'll get to experience our own light and spend the day up on that beautiful holy mountain in Garrison. We Zoom again May 6th, which is coming up, you know, soon. It's a Monday night. And I think on that Zoom, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to write our definition of love. Now I know what my Zoom is about. Okay. And what else did I want to talk about? I posted about this up on our Facebook group, A Circle of Women. I've recently gone through a lot of changes, all for the good, and all of them felt terrible. So I just want to say, if you're going through changes and it feels awful, yeah, keep going. Keep going. I've yet to meet anybody who's gone through big changes and it felt good. Going through big changes, it can open up a piece of resilience in you. That's what it did for me. Going through change brings out a little bit of resilience. So I share that with you. Change, if you're going through it, is absolutely uncomfortable, but it's going to bring out your resilience. And when you get to the other side of change, it comes with a gift. You don't remember the hard parts. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. We are brought to you by Nissan of Yorktown Heights. Get 0% APR available on select new Nissans this month only. 500 vehicles to choose from. Visit nissanofyorktownheights.com. And I must add this about all of the changes. I went through them so imperfectly. Absolute imperfection, flagrant imperfection, which only added to the angst. It's like, I'm doing this poorly. Change. It's not easy and it's not pretty either. Our thought for the day is from the dude, Jeff the Dude Lebowski. His real name is Jeff Bridges. And this is what Jeff Bridges said. I like this very much. He said, imperfection and perfection go so hand in hand, and our dark and our light are so intertwined that by trying to push the darkness or the so-called negative aspects of our life to one side, we are preventing ourselves from the fullness of life. Dude, that's deep. Shana. You've been listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week. It's your time to shine on.